As soon as you leave the classroom, you will notice that people don't speak Chinese the way your teacher and textbook do. Why is that, and what can you do to learn to understand regionally accented Mandarin? Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about what I have chosen to call regionally accented Mandarin. And I'm going to clear up a few terms and make sure that we're all on the same page before we go on to discuss how to deal with this, which is a challenge that all learners face at some point. So let's first discuss the word dialect. If you have no background in studying Chinese, a dialect is just the way some people speak, probably in a certain region, so we can talk about different dialects of English, for example. And this would then be different from a language, which we would expect to have bigger differences than dialects. Now, this is not a straightforward division. For example, I'm Swedish, and if I listen to Norwegian, I can understand a lot of what's being said, definitely not everything, but I can understand a lot enough to have a conversation without having studied a single word of Norwegian. So we could argue that Norwegian and Swedish are dialects of the same language. We don't say that normally, and no one really does that, but we call them languages. And this shows that this is really rather a political question rather than a linguistic one. And indeed, as the saying popularized by Max Weinreich goes, a language is a dialect with an army and navy. And so Sweden has an army, so we call it a language, but the subsection of Londoners who speak Cockney don't have their own army, so we call it a dialect. In the context of Chinese, then, this becomes a little bit more complicated because we tend to call these things dialects. So we would say, for instance, that Guangdonghua or Cantonese is a dialect of Chinese. In Chinese, the word is fangyan, so fang meaning place and yan meaning words or speech. And the best word we have for this in English is a term popularized by Victor Mayer, which is topolect, which I will use in this episode to denote varieties of Chinese such as Mandarin or Cantonese. One important aspect that many beginners don't realize is how linguistically diverse China is. There are a large number of these topolects in a number of different families that are quite different from each other, and it's not the case that everybody speaks Mandarin. In fact, Xinhua, the state news agency, reported in 2015 that around 73% of the population speaks Putonghua, which is the standard varieties of standard Chinese. And this doesn't mean that 73% of the population speak Putonghua as their first language, it just means that 73% have some proficiency in this variety of Chinese. The trend here is very clear though, the number of speakers of Putonghua is increasing fairly rapidly. And if you're interested in learning more about the history and the developments regarding Mandarin, I strongly suggest that you check out David Moser's book A Billion Voices, which discusses exactly this problem, and which I will review at some point when I have the time. So the upshot of all this is that when you speak Mandarin with someone, it is very likely that they actually don't speak Mandarin as their first language, and if they do speak Mandarin, it's likely that they have some traces or they borrow some elements from their native topolect. And this can be pronunciation, vocabulary, grammar, and so on. But in this article, we're talking about accent, so we're talking about pronunciation. So in essence, what I mean by regionally accented Mandarin is the way people in China typically speak Mandarin when they are influenced by another topolect. And sometimes it can just be a small shift, maybe they mix up a certain initial or something like that. And sometimes there's so much change that to the uninitiated learner, it might seem like a completely different language. So in this episode, I want to talk about what this problem is and what to do about it as a learner. Some of these differences are quite small, and it can sometimes feel weird that once you know about this, that there was a time when you didn't know about it, and that just a minor difference would essentially mean that you didn't understand, well, a key word or something like that. To illustrate this, I will share with you three examples from my first year in Taiwan, when I encountered regionally accented Mandarin, well, for real the first time. And naturally, I would have had different examples if my first year had been somewhere else. But these differences still rank among the most common ones, so they will be relevant for many of you. So the first example comes from when I was out quite late one night and I wanted to have some green milk tea, which I still like to this day. And none of the stands where I usually bought the tea were open, so I headed over to a convenience store. And I found my favorite brand of milk tea, and went over to the counter, paid, and was about to leave. And then the guy says, "要加乐吗?" This made me very perplexed. I did not understand what he was saying. 加乐. I was thinking, okay, 家 means home, 家 maybe means add, 乐. Okay, so that the 乐 in 快乐 was the only one I could come up with. So want to add happiness, or maybe 家, like in home, familial bliss? No. Okay, so this is obviously not what he means. And then I realized, okay, no, wait. He's asking, 你要加热吗? So he asks if I want to heat the tea. And after realizing that and looking at this example, it feels almost stupid. How could it be that I heard such a sentence in that context and still did not understand what he said? But that was what happened, and I've heard similar stories from many, many students, and this is indeed very common. And just a small difference like this can really throw you off, especially if you haven't heard people speak like this before. And like I said, this was my first year in Taiwan, and I hadn't heard people speak like this. And so this switch between R and L, either mixing them up or just using them more or less randomly, or using only one or only the other, is fairly common. So that's something you should definitely be aware of. And once you are aware of it, it becomes much less of a problem. Indeed, I might even say that this is a type of problem that only happens once. The next example is also from my first year. All of these examples are. I was waiting for a bus with a friend, and she said, 你不会能吗? And so again, the wheels of phonology start turning in my head, and I think, 能? What does that mean? I've never seen a syllable in Mandarin that is 能 with a third tone. 能 I know about, but 能, no. So then I figured she must mean something else. And she even repeated this several times, and I still didn't understand. So she hugged herself and shivered to indicate that she was cold. And then I realized, okay, 能, it's actually meant to be 冷, as in cold. And that difference is actually quite small. If you say the two sounds, they feel quite similar in the mouth. Not identical, but still quite similar. And I failed to understand what she meant. So this merging of N and L is also quite common, and it's definitely something you should be aware of. The third example comes from an interview I listened to, and I was mostly able to follow what was going on, but one of the participants kept referring to his humu. This baffled me again, so I knew a fair number of characters by this time, and you think, who? Okay, what who do I know? Okay, bao hu maybe, so protect. And mu, well, I can basically only think of mu qin, so mother. So hu mu maybe is kind of a, I don't know, a protective mother, maybe some kind of guardian or something. And then I listened to the whole interview thinking that this was a kind of guardian I didn't know about. And then finally I realized, no, he just means fu mu. So he's switching F and H. And this one was very baffling to me the first time, because I can kind of feel that N and L are close to each other, and L and R are close to each other as well, and we all know that there are speakers of some languages that think that's difficult in English, so at least conceptually those are not hard. But F and H are radically different sounds, so I was not prepared at all that there were people who would merge these two. And like I said, these are only examples that I have personally experienced, and if you've studied somewhere else, or you just have, you know, had a different experience, I'm sure you have run into other examples, and it would be great if you want to share them. You can head over to hackingchinese.com and check out the written version of this episode. Okay, so now that we know what the problem is, let's see how we can deal with this as a learner. And I'm going to sound a little bit harsh here, maybe. And that's because I've heard way too many people complain about this problem. But in essence, what I want to say is that if you don't understand what someone is saying, it is your fault, or it's kind of your responsibility to figure this out. And of course, I'm well aware that we need more than one person to communicate, and you can say that if you're talking with one person, it's also their responsibility to try to speak in a way that you understand. But it's very unlikely that the situation with different accents in China will change because, say, lots of foreigners complain about it online or something like that. That's not going to happen. So the only recourse we have here is essentially to do something ourselves. And then there are two things we can do. One is, of course, to try to adopt a healthier attitude. So you can start thinking about regionally accented Mandarin as something charming and interesting, and you can compare how different people speak and find a lot of value in that. You should also try to improve your ability to understand regionally accented Mandarin, of course, because even if it could be that someone else is really hard to understand, you cannot really influence what other people do, and they will not start talking in a different way because you want them to, or you cannot expect that at least. So the only practical option is to work on the things that you can work on and that will have a positive impact on your ability to talk with people. And like I said, the examples I've mentioned in this article, they are not isolated cases. There are hundreds of millions of people which speak Mandarin like this. So let's round this off by being a little bit more practical. So what are some things you can do if you want to improve your ability? Well, I kind of hinted at this in the beginning, but leaving the classroom is a good first step. Many teachers have a fairly standard, at least more standard accent than most non-teachers. And of course, this is doubly true for people who record audio for various, you know, textbooks or apps and something like that. It doesn't mean that you will not find any variety in the way people speak Mandarin in learning materials, but typically we're looking at very standard Mandarin. That's where you will find the most standard Mandarin outside of official, say, news broadcasts. So stepping outside of the learning materials and the classroom and kind of joining the real world is the first step. This means that you need to diversify your listening practice. You don't obviously have to go to China to experience this. You can watch TV programs where they interview or where they talk with people from all across China, and you will hear lots of different ways of speaking Mandarin. And naturally, when this is an option, actually traveling is a great way to do it, because then you will encounter lots of people who speak in different ways. And just to clear this up, it's not the case that people in one place speak exactly the same. And if you say go to Beijing, you will hear people only speaking Beijinghua. No, that's not how it works. In any big city, there will be lots and lots of people who are not from there and who are in fact from all over China. So you will hear a broad variety of dialects, regardless of where you go, really. So it's not that you can just learn how people in a specific area speak, although that is, of course, the place you should start. I would also like to encourage learners who might be new to this and have just realized that this is a problem. It isn't as bad as you think. Sometimes when you listen to someone who speaks with a certain accent, you will understand almost nothing and you think, oh, everything I've learned is kind of wasted. I don't understand anything. And that could be the case. Not that it's all wasted, but that you don't understand anything. But these differences are usually fairly systematic. We looked at a few of these systematic differences in this episode already. But these are fairly systematic, and once you kind of break the code, you will be able to make use of the rest of the Mandarin you have learned to understand this person. So it seems to be a very daunting problem, and it kind of sounds like a different language sometimes. Whereas, in fact, once you figure these basic differences out, it becomes a lot easier. And like I said earlier, attitude here is important. If you think that this is a problem and that people around here don't speak Mandarin properly and so on, you're going to suffer a lot. And I strongly suggest that you start regarding this as a kind of source of diversity and that this is something rather interesting. And of course, I have a fairly strong interest in phonetics. So when I listen to people, even if they are saying something that I might not be that interested in, I at least find it interesting to listen to how they speak Mandarin and what switches they are making and if I can hear influences from another topolect when they speak. I think the main problem is that if you believe that people speak the way your textbook audio does or your teacher does, then you're in for a surprise. And this is also the reason why I recorded this episode, because I think that being aware that this is a thing and being kind of mentally, at least conceptually prepared that this is going on all the time might make it slightly easier to make sense of regionally accented Mandarin. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.